Now, as we start our time together, I'm going to bring you a little time from God's Word. It's fitting because this is not a normal business meeting, but this is a church meeting to spend a little bit of time looking at God's Word to us, we His people. I'm going to read Psalm 134. It's the last of what are called the Psalms of Ascent. And it's very short. Psalm 134. A song of ascents. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Now, as we look over the past year, and as we look forward to the coming year, it is fitting to consider this little psalm that captures so much of our congregation's purpose. Now, the heading, A Song of Ascents, which is inspired, it tells us that this is one of those songs that God's people would use as they were, as pilgrims coming to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. You'll remember that Jerusalem is on Mount Zion. It is about 2,500 feet above sea level. So they would be approaching upward to get to the temple. And they would sing this psalm and the other ascent psalms as they walked up Mount Zion to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, let's just ask a few questions about this psalm. First of all, where would they worship? Verse 1, they would worship in the house of the Lord. And verse 2, in the sanctuary or towards the sanctuary. So this is the temple. The house of the Lord is the temple. It's located in the city of Jerusalem. And that city was the place where God made his presence to dwell in a special, unique way. Notably, it's the place where his people lived. He came down from heaven to dwell with his people. And that is where we worship, Mount Zion, in the presence of our God. Whom do we worship here? Well, verses 1 through 3, it uses his name, the Lord, the Lord. It's used 5 times over the course of these 3 verses. And we note, when you have Lord in small caps, that's talking about God's special covenant revealed name. It's Yahweh, or it used to be called Jehovah. It's special because only God has this name. He's not Baal. He's not Mammon. He is the Lord, and he wants you to know who he is, and that's why he spoke to us and told us his name. Now, who is to worship? Who is to be doing the worshiping? Verse 1, it says, all you servants of the Lord, all those who are in the kingdom of God are to worship. Those who profess to know God through Jesus Christ, the children of those believers are called to come and to worship. And so that's why we come together and why we bring our children to come and to worship in his presence. So that's where to worship, whom we worship, who is to do the worshiping? When do we worship? When do we do it? Well, we do it when we're gathered together. Verse 1, the saints are gathered. They're standing in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And in this case, you'll notice one little detail about it. Verse 1, it says, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. In this one case, they are gathered together at night. And that's something that we do here, isn't it? We gather on Wednesday nights when we have our prayer meeting. We do it Sunday, on the Lord's Day, Sunday morning and Sunday at night. We do it all together. And it's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. Now, how do we worship? How do we worship? Now, there's something that's very easy about this question and something that's also very hard. It turns out that everybody, whether you are a Christian or you are anti-Christian, everybody worships. We were made to worship. We don't need to be taught how to worship. Even the anti-Christian worships. What do we mean by that? Well, worship means this. Worship means I devote myself to this, or I delight myself in this, or I depend on this. So we may devote ourselves to things like financial security or professional reputation, or we may find ultimate delight in things like fun, gaming, videos, thrill, traveling, whatever. You can worship those things that you delight in. Or you may ultimately be depending, leaning on, finding your security in things like human affirmation. And some people live for that. They are worshiping that. Or just romantic belonging. Not a bad desire, but when it becomes your ultimate form of dependence and support, it's worship. Or even just substance. Substance abuse is worship. So how do we worship the Lord? Well, we devote ourselves to him. We delight ourselves in him. We depend on him ultimately. And so it's expressed in worship this way. Verse 1, bless the Lord. Verse 2, bless the Lord. We praise him. We speak well of him because we are finding delight in him. Because as we depend on him, we find that he is our security. He is coming through when we need him to come through. And that we are committed to him. So we speak back to him. We are your people. You are our God. So we're devoted to him. The focus is upward. Verse 2, we lift our hands in worship. What's that about? Is it about lifting up our physical hands? Yes, but not really. Ultimately, what does that mean? It's not just that God wants us to go through physical motions. What is the meaning of lifting up our hands? It's directing our praise upward. Not looking at these walls. Not being distracted by the screen or the tablecloth or the weather or the person with the fussy baby. It's directed up. Up to him in our worship. Focus on the Lord. Lift yourself up to him. Now, as we close, why do we worship? Why do we worship? Look at verse 3. What does it say? We've said in verses 1, bless the Lord. Verse 2, bless the Lord. And then verse 3, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Why do we worship? Because the Lord has blessed us. We worship because God saved us. That's implicit in this whole passage. They're in where? They're in Zion. They're in Jerusalem. They're only there because God rescued them from not Jerusalem, not from Zion, but another country. They were in Egypt in captivity. That's symbolic for slavery to sin and the devil. But they're now in Zion. He brought them into this land of promise, which is symbolic of the kingdom of heaven. How? He did it through the deliverer, Moses, who is symbolic and a type of Jesus Christ. And so this is our story, if you are a believer. You can say, this is how God has blessed me, and this is why I worship him. Jesus Christ found me when I was stuck in my sin and my misdirected desires. And he befriended me, and he forgave me, and he changed my life. And that's why we worship him.